The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Fresh jitters in China's property market, plus a wave of strikes on Ukrainian ports threaten the world's food supply. And as costs mount, health plans begin restricting coverage of popular obesity treatments.
We're sort of in the early stages of these drugs being rolled out. And so they see that as more and more people use them, that's going to add up to a significant cost burden for their health plan.
It's Thursday, August 3rd. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin today in Hong Kong, where shares in a subsidiary of Chinese property giant Evergrande have fallen precipitously in the latest sign of weakness in China's real estate sector. Evergrande Property Services dropped nearly 50% today in its first day of trading in a year and a half, and Journal China Markets reporter Rebecca Fung says it is just the latest poor performance by companies related to Evergrande, which is trying to restructure after defaulting on nearly $20 billion in international debt in late 2021.
Remember that shares of Evergrande itself are still not trading, and Evergrande has until September 20th to resume trading, or it could be delisted from Hong Kong. So in a way, these two subsidiaries' resumption of trading are sort of meant to test the market and prepare for a possible resumption of trading of Evergrande itself. But from what we've seen so far, the results signal that Evergrande's re-entry into the stock market might be pretty bumpy as well. There is a complicated network of borrowing relationships between the subsidiaries and the Evergrande Group. So yeah, investors are wary of anything basically related to Evergrande at this stage.
And yet it's worth pointing out property market jitters are also bigger than just this one company.
Yeah, Evergrande has its own issues to deal with, but the Chinese property market is not coming back in terms of contracted sales. So, for example, Country Garden, which is a developer of similar size to Evergrande, its bonds are now back at distress levels after rebounding briefly late last year and early this year. And from our conversations with analysts and economists, unless the Chinese government put forward more forceful stimulus, the Chinese property market is probably not recovering anytime soon.
It is interest rate day for the Bank of England. A rate hike isn't in question. That's because despite 13 consecutive increases, the BOE's fight against inflation is far from over. But as our Paul Hannon told me, the bank must now balance concerns that stem from the UK housing market.
Unlike the US, where mortgages have fixed interest rates for between 15 and 30 years, in the UK, it's much, much shorter. It's around 2 to 5 years. So what that means is a growing number of homeowners are moving on to much higher interest rates than they initially contracted. And that's eating into household budgets. That in turn is weakening demand for house purchases. And nationwide, one of the big mortgage lenders here yesterday reported that house prices had fallen by the largest amount in a year since 2009, which of course was the tail end of the global financial crisis.
Does that lead to any uncertainty then about the bank's ultimate move here?
It does, in the sense that the cautious approach would be 25 basis points or a quarter of a percentage point. The last decision was to move interest rates up by half a percentage point. And some investors still think that's what's necessary in order for the Bank of England to get on top of its inflation problem. But it may well be kind of disposed towards moving more carefully.
And Donald Trump is expected to appear in federal court in Washington today after being charged earlier this week of engaging in a criminal scheme to stay in power after his November 2020 election defeat. Trump will be represented by recently hired attorney John Lauro, who has been retained exclusively to battle the indictment by special counsel Jack Smith. Lauro has said he expects over 100 witnesses could be called in an eventual trial that could last for months. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. Coming up, a setback for thousands of patients in the U.S. as employers cut off access to popular weight loss drugs for their workers. We've got that story and more after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
In less than a month, one of the largest private healthcare systems in the United States will drop coverage for weight loss drugs like Wegovy and Ozempic, citing the high cost of treatment. Journal reporter Peter Loftus covers the pharmaceutical industry for us, and he joins me now to discuss what such moves mean for that industry, as well as for patients and employers. Peter, before we widen this out to look at what is evidently a trend here among employers with self-funded healthcare plans, take us into this decision, effective September 1st, from Ascension Healthcare and the University of Texas system. What is behind this decision?
Well, the main driver of these decisions is cost. The University of Texas system, which has tens of thousands of employees and family members who are covered by their health plans, says that their costs to cover these weight loss drugs has tripled over the past 18 months to about $5 million a month, and that if they continue to cover them, they see annual costs topping $70 million and rising, because we're sort of in the early stages of these drugs being rolled out. And so they see that as more and more people use them, and then combined with the per person price tag, which can be $1,300 a month or more, that's going to add up to a significant cost burden for their health plan.
Peter, we're talking here narrowly about the University of Texas, Ascension Healthcare, big groups of patients involved here, of course, but there are a lot more people on various other health plans around the U.S. Where are they when it comes to paying for these drugs? Are they covered for most people?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a common decision right now that we're aware of that a large employer who had previously been covering the drugs is now dropping it. The situation has been, if you back up a few years, that a lot of insurance plans generally did not cover weight loss drugs. And that was for various reasons, concerns about efficacy and safety. That did start to improve as drugs like Wegovy came out. And Novo Nordisk, the company that makes it, has said that the number of Americans who are overweight or have obesity that have access to insurance coverage has been rising overall. So that's sort of the overall trend going into this. What appears to be new is that some employers may be having second thoughts.
If they are having second thoughts over the bill, where does that leave people who want treatment? What are costs looking like for them without insurance?
Well, the people without insurance would have to pay out of pocket the full cost of the drug, and that could be $1,300 a month or more. They could get coupons from the manufacturer that could help defray some of the costs, but still leave them with a high bill. And actually, some of the employers that have said that they're not covering the drugs anymore have specifically told their members, contact the manufacturers to see if you can get financial assistance or coupons. But there's probably going to be people that need to seek out lower cost alternatives, like maybe some of the older weight loss drugs, which just generally aren't as effective as these new ones.
And so where does this leave drug makers? Presumably, they want to try and increase the number of folks who are getting these drugs prescribed to them, and I'd imagine to have insurance covering them so they could remain on the drugs.
The companies are continuing to try to persuade insurers to cover these drugs, because there's also still a fair amount of employers who just still haven't even started to cover them in the first place. And so the manufacturers are targeting them. They have made some progress over the last couple of years. These decisions by Texas and Ascension are kind of going against that grain. The companies are just going to have to consider how much they might be willing to bend on price and perhaps start to discount and provide rebates in order to persuade more insurers to cover the drugs. And One other thing that they're also doing is to try to demonstrate the full breadth of the benefits of these drugs beyond merely helping people lose weight. That does include testing whether these drugs, by helping people lose weight, might also help prevent heart attacks and strokes, or have other benefits, say, on kidney health. And if they can build up a database that shows those benefits, they might just have a stronger argument.
I mean, when we spoke about this point exactly several months ago, Peter, you said wait till the fall. That's when we might see some results from clinical trials, whether basically the cost of addressing obesity now potentially leads to savings down the line in avoiding chronic conditions. Update our agendas here. Are we still waiting for that?
We're still waiting for this big, eagerly anticipated clinical trial from Novo Nordisk that is testing whether Wegovy, which is already proven to help people lose weight, can also help prevent heart attacks and strokes in people who have a history of heart disease. And so those results are expected in the next month or two. And that will go a long way towards shaping this future dynamic between the manufacturers and insurers in the U.S.
That was the Wall Street Journal's Peter Loftus, who covers the pharmaceutical industry for us. Peter, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
A wave of drone strikes on Ukraine's ports is ramping up concerns about the world's food supply. Russia is intensifying attacks on Ukraine's food export infrastructure, including by hitting the city of Izmail on the Danube River, one of the remaining outlets for Black Sea grain shipments. Journal correspondent Jared Malson says this comes after Moscow withdrew from a Black Sea grain agreement last month.
The Russians pulled out of that deal, and then they launched this whole wave of missile and drone strikes on those ports, which are essential to Ukraine's economy and also essential to the world's food supply, with Ukraine supplying about 9% of the world's exported wheat and also about half of its sunflower oil. And it's really part of this broader strategy of trying to cripple Ukraine's infrastructure and the lifeblood of its economy. What Ukraine has been trying to do is find other ways to get its wheat and corn and other products out, for example, using these ports on the Danube River. And Russia has started attacking those too. And it just shows how the attacks are getting broader. They're getting closer to NATO and EU territory. It just really shows how Russia is trying to undermine Ukraine as a state and as a viable economy going forward.
The State Department has ordered a partial evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Niger, including some government employees and eligible family members. The move comes amid concerns about a rise in tensions after a military junta detained the country's elected president last week. It is unclear how many Americans are living in Niger, and the State Department said it's working to assess what can be done to ensure all Americans are safe. European governments, led by France, began evacuating their citizens from the West African country on Tuesday. Turning to earnings now, we've got a busy day ahead with Apple and Amazon issuing quarterly updates this afternoon, though some results have already come in. Notably, brewing giant Anheuser-Busch InBev has reported a drop in U.S. sales as drinkers abandoned Bud Light amid a boycott that was spurred by a promotion involving a transgender influencer. The company said that second quarter U.S. revenue was off 10.5%, with profits also hit as it spends more on marketing and support for affected distributors. And the cost of your morning bacon is heating up. Wholesale pork belly prices, the cut of meat that is used to make bacon, have nearly tripled since June, reaching $2.15 per pound, close to last August's peak. Commodities reporter Kirk Maltese says the surge is due in part to a new animal welfare law in California.
Starting next year, Prop 12 will be in full force, because before, Prop 12 was in the Supreme Court being challenged by the hog-producing interest groups. And before the law went into play, a lot of buyers were unsure of what would happen. And as a result, they were rather hands-off with how much pork they would be purchasing. Now, with the law being upheld by the Supreme Court, that's changed. So they instead started buying more pork products in general, but pork belly has seen a big jump because of this, probably the biggest jump, and that is because its use in bacon.
And finally, there is a sound that has long been synonymous with a sense of calm. And now, research is finding that birdsong may be the most restorative of natural sounds, even more so than crashing waves or wind through the trees, in terms of its ability to reduce anxiety and give our brains and nervous system a much-needed rest. Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein.
The research is showing that all those benefits, the stress reduction, calming down, less anxiety, it gets boosted when we actually see the bird. And that's because the bird itself can be beautiful and distracting. It can produce awe, and it can also just hold our attention in this way that is very non-demanding to our brain. It's called soft fascination. It's the opposite of what we have to do, all the intense focus we do all day. Bird song falls right in our sweet spot of our hearing. That's basically 2 to 5 kilohertz. And it reminds us a lot of our own language and our own music. There's melody and tone and pitch and rhythm. So it reminds us of ourselves, basically.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/itheroes.